The theme that we have been focusing on as a congregation throughout this month of March has been engaging the other. This is a subject that seems to be up for a lot of people right now. How do we respond when people that we care about, our friends, our neighbors, our family members, hold vastly different values than we do? And what do we do when those values are so at odds with ours that we begin to question our relationship with the people who hold them? On the 5th, I preached a sermon called Across the Great Divide, and I talked about the presidential election as a metaphorical earthquake and the resulting chasm that has divided people one from another based on their support or scorn for the new president and his policies. I talked about a conclusion that was drawn by some social scientists that our moral values essentially determine how wide our circle of compassion will extend. And I said that we need to find a way to heal those broken relationships in our families and with our friends, but also as a nation. The truth is, I wasn't sure what to say about how to go about doing that exactly. The reading that I shared with you that morning was from Thich Nhat Hanh, and I want us to hear it again. He writes, "If you pour a handful of salt into a cup of water, the water becomes undrinkable. But if you pour the salt into a river, people can continue to draw the water to cook and wash and drink. The river is immense, and it has the capacity to receive, embrace, and transform. When our hearts are small, our understanding and compassion are limited, and we suffer. We can't accept or tolerate others and their shortcomings, and we demand that they change. But when our hearts expand, these same things don't make us suffer anymore. We have a lot of understanding and compassion and can embrace others. We accept others as they are, and then they have a chance to transform." I knew when I first read that reading that the key was in that last line. We accept others as they are, and then they have a chance to transform. Sort of like what John shared with us. The answer had something to do with the concept of holding people in a wide and loving embrace, but it wasn't totally clear to me just yet. And then after I delivered that sermon, I came across something that gave me one of those aha experiences. One of our Sacred Circle facilitators, Vicki Newman, who's here somewhere, forwarded me a TED Talk, a link to a TED Talk by Megan Phelps Roper. Megan Phelps Roper is the granddaughter of Fred Phelps, the founder and former head of the infamous Westboro Baptist Church. These are the people who go around the country picketing baseball games and military memorial services with big neon signs that say extremely noxious things like, "God hates fags." We each draw a circle of compassion and empathy around ourselves, determining who is included in our circle as one of us, and who is outside our circle, who is seen as other. Our UU values urge us to draw our circle as wide as we can to include the inherent worth and dignity of every single person. We believe that the closer we are to seeing our shared humanity and our shared divinity in every single person, the more loving we become. And as a result, we will create a more just and compassionate world. In her TED Talk, Megan says, "In my home, life was framed as an epic spiritual battle between good and evil. The good was my church and its members, and the evil was everyone else. This church drew its boundary of compassion about as narrowly as it is possible to do." She begins her talk by telling the audience about her experience, beginning when she was just 5 years old, holding signs that she couldn't read on the picket line, and how the elders taught her to disregard the hostility of the counter-protesters. She says that pointing out to others exactly how unclean they were and exactly why they were headed for damnation was the focus of their whole lives. And she said she believed it was the only way for her to do good in a world that sits in Satan's lap. Then she tells the audience how a few strangers who interacted with her through Twitter over time helped her to open her mind and her heart, and ultimately make the wrenching decision to leave behind her family and her church. I was transfixed watching her speak. This is a person telling us how it is that the patience, compassion, and gentle but persistent confrontation of perfect strangers turned friends helped her to transform herself, helped her to redraw her circle of compassion more widely. I encourage you to find her TED Talk and watch it carefully. I posted it this morning on our fellowship's Facebook page to make it easier for you. I think Megan's story holds clues to expanding our own compassion and bridging these ideological chasms that would ultimately and could ultimately bring healing to all of these strained relationships. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." And he said, "Hate begets hate. Violence begets violence. Toughness begets a greater toughness. We must meet the forces of hate with the power of love." A new study has just been released looking at what persuades people to vote in favor of protections for transgender people. Social scientists went knocking door to door in a community in Florida, talking with the residents and asking about their support of the transgender bathroom bill. It's not a big surprise, but as it turns out, when the canvasser had enough time to share personal stories and to help the resident make a real connection with a transgender person, it had a huge impact on people's ability to feel empathy and see their shared humanity. Before the conversations, transgender people were abstract for many of these people. They were a foreign idea. The stories helped them make them into real people that the residents could relate to. They were essentially able to draw their circle just a little bit wider to include people in the trans community. Several people here have shared with me that they grew up in extremely racist families. And then something happened to them along the way. Maybe they met somebody who helped open their mind to new understandings, or they went off to college and they read a certain book or had a professor that blew their minds open. And that didn't happen for the rest of the members of their family. And they continue to struggle with that. The process of changing your ideas, opening your mind, often involves letting go of a little bit of pride, doesn't it? It's helpful when somebody is gentle and allows the space for you to come to your own conclusions. I'm thinking of those times when my ideas were transformed, when my thoughts or opinions about an issue became more broad, and it took somebody letting me wrestle a little bit and holding me in that space. So last week, my sermon was about UU moral values, and I wanted us all to understand the moral ground that we stand upon as Unitarian Universalists so that we can confidently articulate our values. In the sermon, I mentioned yet another occasion where a senator boasting an image as a morally superior family values guy who simultaneously was drafting and supporting laws that would be harmful to people in the LGBT communities, was caught in a prostitution scandal with an underage boy. And I mentioned in the sermon also the evangelical Christian political movement from the 1980s, the Moral Majority, as another example of a group of people making a claim that their set of standards represents the only true morality, even though they completely disregarded the rights of women and people in the LGBT community. Later in the week, I received an email from somebody who had visited us last Sunday, and she identified herself as an evangelical Christian and said that though I talked in the sermon about drawing the circle wide and being welcoming, she felt most unwelcome by my words. And my heart sank. And yet I'd been saying to people that I was looking for an opportunity to explore this territory, to reach across an ideological divide with a real person so I could have my own lived experience of that. So I guess my prayers were answered. Sometimes the universe has a funny sense of humor. I think I've mentioned evangelical Christians a handful of times, and she happened to be there that day. I haven't answered her letter just yet, except to thank her for sharing her words with me and to let her know that I really wanted to let them sink in, and I wanted to be carefully consider a response. Though it's sometimes my first knee-jerk reaction, I know that my true goal is not to defend myself, but rather to build some kind of connection with her. I want to hold her in the wide, compassionate embrace of acceptance that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about. And I hope to respond with that same patience and compassion and clarity of different ideas that invited Megan Phelps Roper to take a fresh look at her beliefs. Martin Luther King Jr. also said, "We must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love." If we are to truly and honestly engage one another across these chasms that we now see so clearly, if we're to heal our relationships with our family and our friends and our neighbors, if we are to build bridges between our divisions, I believe it begins by expanding our own hearts, being firmly grounded in love, and truly holding all others in that same loving embrace. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.